Morning. First of all, I'd like to just thank all of you that have been praying for me. I know that many of you have told me that you've been praying for me, and I definitely covet that. This is not something I normally do very often, but I do count it as a privilege to be able to share God's word with you today. And what was really a blessing, I think, is just, well, number one, I think it's been good for me. To study deeper than maybe I normally would have been throughout the week, and really realizing this is about what God's teaching me, and having an opportunity to try to share that with you. But it was also a blessing this morning to have my family, Lisa and Ryan and Jennifer, prayed for me this morning, and then as they were praying, I got a text and checked it afterwards, and Jennifer texted at that same time saying she was praying. Intention, Dan are praying as well. And so it was really just, it's just a blessing to be able to have the support of my family and just all of you. So many of you I know have been praying for me and telling me that. But one of the things that was good was, I mean, one of the things Ryan prayed was, he kind of said, well, and even if it doesn't go well, I pray that you still use. And I appreciate that in that that is true. It's not about me. It's not about how smoothly things go and how smoothly I present things or things like that, how polished the speaker I am. It's about God's word being spoken to your hearts, and so only he can do that. And so I appreciate that it's not up to me, and I'm glad with that. So with that in mind, let's open in a word of prayer. There's the children are not here to dismiss right now, but they're practicing, so we can pray for them as well. So let's start this time in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this morning that you've given us, and we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word, God, and just to see what you have to say to us, God. And so we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the children, too, that are preparing for the children's Christmas musical that's coming up in the next month, actually, already. And so we just pray that you would just be with them as they prepare and serve in that way as well. And so we just look forward to that. But be with them. Be with the service today, too, God. And just pray that you would continue to be here, continue to speak through your word. And we thank you again for who you are. Thank you for this opportunity to come to you like this, God, and to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so as you can see, the title of the message, well, in the bulletin, it says the title of the message is A New Attitude. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are still going through the book of Ephesians. But one of the things that we'll be talking about is this this new attitude. And so before I start, though, normally sometimes we would have everybody stand up and read the passage together, but today I've asked Andrew Lai, if he would help me out, and if he would go ahead and come up here and read the passage for you. And so I'm going to ask Andrew to come up, and you can just sit and follow along, and we'll have Andrew read the passage to start this morning.
You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, and they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up and according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 4:22-32.
All right, thank you, Andrew. I'll say a little bit later, kind of a little bit more, why I asked him to read for you today. But some of you may have noticed, well, we'll see how many of you noticed that. Yeah, I was supposed to start on verse 25. That was the passage that I was assigned. And you might have noticed that we started back in verse 22. And in some ways, Pastor Craig already spoke on that, right, last week. So we're kind of going backwards. But there's a reason that I went back a little bit. And so if we can kind of go to the next slide. As you can see, the verse, this passage starts with the word therefore. So don't worry, we're not going to go through every single word. But when you're studying God's word, when you come across the word therefore, what are you supposed to ask yourself? What's it there for, right? So you ask yourself, what is that? What is it there for? And usually it means you have to go back, right? You have to go back to the previous passage. And so that's what we just did. We went back to what is he trying to tie this passage into? And so he's trying to tie it into something that we just covered last week. And if you remember, it was titled Before and After. And so it was about, well, let's go ahead and go to that next slide. And it's about kind of this before and after. And Pastor Craig talked about putting off your old self and putting on your new self. Well, that seems kind of simple. He made it sound like it was just kind of the example of just changing your clothes. And so that's all something that we can do, and it seems simple. But you kind of notice, what's the connecting part? What's the connecting part in between? And you look at verse 23, and the part that's in blue, that's really the connecting part here, right? To be made new in the attitude of your minds. And so, really, he's not talking about this new self, this new person that you're putting on. It's about your new attitude of your mind. It's a change of heart. And that's really what he's talking about. And so we'll have to keep that in mind, keep this attitude in mind as we go through this upcoming passage. You know, Craig often ends with a benediction, the blessing from Numbers. And part of that includes this word, the Lord's countenance. And you think about countenance, you think, what does that mean? And that could be interpreted face, you know, God's face. But I think it's more than that. I mean, even Webster says it includes things like emotion and his character. And so it's his essence. And in some ways, that's kind of what we're talking about with this new self, right? It's not just our outward, it's our inside attitudes, our inside heart and mind changing and coming through and being reflected through our outside. And that's kind of, I think, what this idea of maybe countenance is. And so kind of keep that in mind too. So really that's kind of what we're talking about here. We're going to be talking about a new attitude. This is a change of heart, right? This is a transformation, and that's what we'll be talking about, how that looks in these next few verses. So go ahead and change to the next slide.
You're right.
Go ahead and move forward. See, that's what we were talking about. It might not go smoothly, but God would still use this. See, this is what God's talking about. He's saying, Paul in Romans was saying, you know, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, so here's that idea of renewing our mind. And so there's other places in the Bible where he talks about, this is about renewing our mind. So keep that in mind. We're trying to change how we think. And the other thing that I want to kind of go over is talk about the context, though, too. Context is very important, right? It's because if you hear something, if you read something, it's important to understand the context that it was saying, right? Because that could change things. And if you don't understand the context, then you could misinterpret things or misunderstand things. And so, you know, sometimes when I'm vacuuming at home, I might say out loud, "This sucks." And normally, you know, you could hear me say that and you think, oh, that's unwholesome talk. You know, that's something we're going to be talking about a little bit later. But in this context, I'm actually complimenting the vacuum cleaner, right? I'm saying, this sucks. And that's a good thing, because that's what a vacuum cleaner is supposed to be doing, right? And so it's actually a different context. And so So one of the things in trying to put things into context in this passage is I wanted to understand, who is Paul writing to? Because on the surface, this sounded kind of interesting that he would be talking about these things, depending on who he's talking to. And so if you go back to the beginning of Ephesians, it says he's talking to the saints at Ephesus, you know, the follower, the faithful ones, the followers of Christ. So he's talking about Christians, and he's talking about really the church or churches at Ephesus. And so that makes a difference, because sometimes you think about it, you think, well, maybe he's talking to, you know, his fellow prisoners that he was in jail with or something like that. Because you look at, you know, remember what Andrew just talked about, And we're going to be talking about lying, stealing, and swearing, maybe wrath, bitterness, malice, slander. And you start thinking, you know, what kind of church is this that he's talking about? And you realize, though, you think about it, you look a little further, and you see that, well, this is a pretty mature church. I mean, this is a church that Paul himself spent, you know, 2-3 years directly there teaching and helping grow this church. He developed elders there. He had sent Timothy there later. So it was a pretty solid church. And yet this is who he's talking to about these things. I mean, he could be talking to us here at Faith Bible Church. And so I think sometimes we hear things like this and we kind of tune it out and say, oh, we don't have those problems here. But let's look at it a little bit closer. So it's to this solid church. And we can go to the next slide. So back to the therefore. Therefore, each of you should put off falsehood. And on the surface, this might say, okay, we shouldn't lie, right? We shouldn't be lying to each other here in the church. And, you know, I think that's true. We shouldn't be. And yet maybe he's talking about something even greater, even broader than that. Because look at what terms he used. He says, put off falsehood. And that's kind of parallels what he just talked about in the last passage, right? Put off your old self. And so maybe he's talking about more than just not lying to each other. Because what is our old self? What is our, you know, Pastor Craig has been talking about that, and Mike have been talking about some of that too, right? Our old self, the old way of life, living after, you know, the things of this world and what that looks like. And, you know, really when you think about it, if that's our old self, it's to live, you know, according to the world. You know, who does the Bible say is the prince of the world? You know, it's Satan, right? And so let's go to the next verse, see what Jesus says about Satan. Jesus says, he's talking to the religious leaders, actually, and he's saying, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Wow, I mean, that's basically saying there is nothing good that Satan ever said. Everything he says is a lie. And so if we're living according to this world, we're basically living a lie. And I think one of the things that maybe he's encouraging us as a church is sometimes we can still fall back into that old way of living. And we can be living for the fleshly desires and for the love of money and pride and all those things that come with the living this worldly life. And a lot of these things, they could seem very attractive, but they're all lies, right? That's what he's showing to us. And so let's go to the next slide. Something further that Jesus says about this living this worldly life, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for the wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. And you think about what he's saying here. He's saying this way of living that the world is telling you is good, that the world is telling you is attractive, and sometimes it does look attractive, and it seems easier maybe than, you know, living life the way that God wants us to. And yet, what does the Bible say about it? Besides that it's a lie. It's a lie that it's good. It's a lie that it's going to be good for you and help you. It says, it goes farther than that. It says it's leading to destruction. And so it's a warning. He's saying, warning, if you're on this path, be careful. And that may be, as we go to the next slide, that may be why he's also talking about that we should be speaking truth to each other. I mean, I think we also, it does mean, yeah, we shouldn't be lying to each other and we should speak the truth to each other, and that's all important. But we think if Satan is the father of lies, Jesus is the truth, right? He says he's the way, the truth, and the life. And so that's what we should be speaking to each other. We should be, maybe he's telling us we need to help encourage each other to live this new life, to put on this new self, to live because it's the truth. And that's what we should be speaking to each other as a body, because he says we're all one body. And so sometimes we need to help each other, and it may involve uncomfortable things. There are times when we may have to call sin sin. And we may have to confront that, but we have to do it out of love, not out of self-righteousness, not out of anything but love. And so, it could be a difficult thing. Sometimes it's difficult to speak truth. And yet, God is telling us we need to help each other. We need to help each other, warn each other if we're going down a wrong path, encourage each other to go down this other path. And another thing that he calls us to do as a church is to really to inundate ourselves with the truth. And by that, it means we need to speak the word. The truth is God's word, right? We need to speak the word. We need to preach it. We need to study it together. All those things, right? And so that's really what Faith Bible Church, what all churches should be about. We should be inundating ourselves with, filling our minds with these truths. And so that could be a lot of what he's talking about too. And then we go on to the next verse, and it seems to be something that in some ways it seems kind of random. All of a sudden he's talking about speaking truth, and now all of a sudden he's saying, in your anger, do not sin. What is that about? Well, I mean, it could be that we are angry about sin. You know, as we look around, as we see that there is still sin in us, within the church, that it's still there, and maybe that makes us angry. And that's okay. God was angry. That was one thing. God was angry at. God gets angry at sin. But he's also given a warning that don't let that anger become sin. And so what is he talking about there? He's just talking about don't. Well, let's go on to the next verse. We'll see a little bit more about it. He's saying there is a limit. Don't let it linger. Don't let it last. Because what does that do? That's going to give Satan a foothold. And so when our anger, even if it's at the right thing, if it just allowed to fester and to linger, it gives Satan an opportunity. If it starts becoming, I used a red emoji for anger, because to me, anger is a little bit like fire. You see, fire is a good thing. It can keep us warm, but it needs to be contained, right? And it could easily get out of control. It can easily be fueled. That's why I think Satan gets a foothold if we let it go out of control. He can, let it be a lot. It can cause a lot of devastation also. And it could be a very destructive thing. And so the Bible is saying, even if you're angry about, even if it's about sin, replace it with grace. Don't let it just keep on going, because it gives Satan a foothold. And besides, it's easier to sleep when you're not angry too, right? So I think the Bible is wise. It knows about anger management, right? So that's one of the things that it talks to us about. If we can go on to the, we'll talk a little bit about anger, anger that's become sin a little bit later too. So keep that in mind. Now we go on to stealing. And when he talks about anyone who steals must not steal any longer. And so really, you might think about it, what were there? Is he talking about, were there professional thieves within the church at Ephesus? And, it could have been. He said back then there were a lot of bandits. They would come out of the mountains and steal. And so there could have been some of them that had become Christians, and they are now part of the church. And maybe some of them were struggling with continuing to do that. And he was asking them, that's not who you are anymore. Don't do that anymore. But I think there are other ways. There's a lot of ways that we can steal. And it really comes down to what's the root, what's the attitude behind it. I mean, stealing could involve really the same attitudes that go with coveting, wanting things that other people have that we don't have. It has this attitude of ungratefulness, not being satisfied with what we have. It could be laziness. Talks about, instead of working hard, and so it could be lots of different things. But we, even though you might say, well, we don't have, professional thieves here, I don't think. And, we don't think we have problems with people taking money out of the offering plate as it's going by and things like that. And think that it doesn't apply to us. But there's a lot of ways where our attitudes are different, and our attitudes can be the same as what goes behind in stealing. Has anyone ever had anything stolen from them before? A few of you. So we've had, over the years, we've had our car has been broken into several times. I know, Lisa, I know you can relate to that. And we've even had our car stolen out of our driveway before. That was kind of surprising. And then when we were first married, when we were early on in our marriage, when we were living at my parents' house when they were in Philadelphia, someone broke into that house, and they basically came in through the downstairs door. There was a glass door, and they broke the door, came in, and just, you know, stole a bunch of things, went through things. And, you know, how does that make you feel when that happens? You know, I was angry, you know, because I came home and, had gotten a call at work about what happened. And I came home and, you know, not only is it a bad feeling to realize that someone was going through your things, you know, they actually go through like your clothes drawers and things like that, because they think a lot of people hide things in their drawers. And so there's just, and another thing too, though, is it doesn't seem right. It seems unfair. They make a big mess. And guess who has to clean it up? I mean, I do. I go home, there's glass everywhere, and you can't just leave it like that. You have to, stop everything and fix that. And so, you know, I'm getting kind of angry, and I'm thinking, you know, this sucks, as I vacuum up the the glass pieces. But really, you know, it's important, because I didn't know who did it, so I couldn't direct my anger at somebody else. But you have to be careful that I don't start directing my anger at God. You know, why did you let this happen and things like that? And so anyways, it's not a good feeling. And, you know, you feel like this, whoever did this, that it's very selfish, and, you know, it's upsetting. And yet we struggle sometimes with these same attitudes that go along with, but the Bible is also contrasting it. It's not just saying don't steal, but instead of stealing, you should work hard. Why? So that you can share and help out others that are in need. And so I've also been the beneficiary of that. I've had people steal things from me, but I've also had people help me in times of need. Many of you know that about 5 years or so ago, I went through a period of extended unemployment. And that was a hard time. That was a hard time. And many of you were, you know, there praying for us and encouraging us and trying to help me find a job, and so we appreciate those things. A few of you even helped us financially, gave to us financially during that time. And you did it in a way that I know was pleasing to God, in that you did it just quietly and just out of love. And that was, you know, just a real blessing to us. And, you know, I won't say your names, because I don't want to diminish the reward that you're going to get for that. But as you know, as much of a blessing as it was for us, I know it was also pleasing to God. And so, you know, it's good to see that this contrast of the attitude that God puts in our hearts being played out, you know, even here in this church. So let's look at the next thing. Here we talk about this unwholesome talk again. We've mentioned it already, unwholesome talk. Some translations talk about unwholesome talk as they translate it as rotten or corrupting talk. So if you think about it, and it's talk that it corrupts, it tears down. Really, it tears. You know, we talked about unity in the church. This does the opposite. This kind of unwholesome talk, it corrupts, it tears things down. And so, you know, you think about that. The Bible also talks about the tongue also being like a fire. You know, James talks about it's a small thing, and yet it's very, very powerful. And yet look at the other, the contrasting side to it. See, just going back real quickly. So one of the things that I was thinking about, too, is I was thinking about, well, so does this mean that we should just, what we need is we need a better filter? You know, we might be thinking something, but instead of saying it, we say something else. We say something nice or something like this. And, you know, I was reading, there's a verse that Jesus, again, he's talking to the religious leaders, and he's saying, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So the Bible is saying, really, you can't do that, right? I mean, you can, but then that's hypocrisy. If you're just saying the opposite of what you think. You know, that's a lot of times what the Pharisees did. They said good things, even though, but on the inside. And so, like we talked about, you know, this character, this essence that we should, what should come out from us, what should be done externally should be what the same thing that what we feel on the inside. So really what he's saying is our insides need to change. We need to change on the inside because that's going to reflect what comes out on the outside. And so if we go to the second half of this, that verse talks about, you know, the opposite of saying things that are, you know, cause disunity, that tear people down. He's saying you should be doing the opposite. You should be, you know, building, saying things that build people up, that edify, you know, and really that's wise because it's just what they needed. It's according to their needs. And really, only God can do that, right? Because only God knows what people's needs are. And so we realize, you know, that he wants, and it talks about being a benefit to those who listen. Other translations talk about grace. He gives grace to you. And, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, you know, the tongue can be very, very powerful both ways, right? I mean, all of you probably have things that you remember that someone said about you that you will remember forever, maybe because it was so mean or so discouraging or so whatever that was. And yet think about it this way too, though. We have a tongue, we have a voice, and just as powerful, you know, as we know, it can be powerful in a bad way. It can be just as powerful in a good way. And think about that. This is something that every one of us has the ability, you know, to do. We can all speak. We all have voices. We can all talk. And yet when we are younger, we learn what? If you don't have anything good to say, what? Yeah, don't say anything at all. And okay, well, that's good advice, but what's the kind of half glass empty problem with that? The problem with that is that you don't have anything good to say, right? And so the Bible says we have much good to say. We have Christ in us. We have a lot of good to say. We have a lot that we can do to be an encouragement to other people. And that's something that we can all do. And think about how powerful that could be. Think about times when other people have encouraged you and how helpful that was. And think about the fact that you can do that for other people. My wife is very good about that. I learn a lot from her in that area. And a lot of times I use an excuse. I can think, well, I'm an introvert, so, you know, it's harder for me to say something. Well, that's not an excuse. And even if you are, then maybe you can write it or something like that. I mean, when Lisa and I first started dating, we met in Alaska, and we immediately started a long-distance relationship because I lived in Washington and she lived in Oregon. But I think God knew. He was wise. And he knew that was an important time because, as you know, Lisa will tell you, I'm not that expressive verbally. And yet I'm more expressive actually in writing. And so, you know, what that forced is back then, you know, there was no texting, right? There was no email. I mean, it wasn't as long ago as it wasn't telegrams either, but but it was snail mail. You actually had to write down on paper and put it in the mail. And so that's how we communicated a lot for the first, you know, part of our relationship. But I think God knew. He did know that I was more expressive on paper than in person. And so that was a way for us to express. And so maybe you don't feel as comfortable talking, but you can now You can text now. You can email. And even texting, you know, now you can even add, I think why emojis are so popular, you can add context, right? They add some context. So otherwise, you know, sometimes it's hard to read things, you know, written things and understand the emotion or attitude behind it. It's a very powerful thing if we use it to build people up. Can we go to the next slide, see? It talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit. And so what do we mean by that? Well, I think any time that the Holy Spirit was given for what? It says he was a seal. He was a mark. He's given to us as a mark that we are saved. We are one of God's children. And someday we're going to go to the judgments and we're going to have this mark of the Holy Spirit. And so even though we're not perfect yet, even though it's still a process, a work in process to change, to become this new person, this new self, God's given us the Holy Spirit to help us. And it, of course, it grieves him when we continue to live our old life. When he's telling us, you're changed now, you're a new person, put on your new self. And so he's saying, you know, don't grieve him. Don't keep living this old way. And now he goes more into these some examples of anger and how anger can be sin. When it becomes bitterness, when it gets out of control and becomes rage and brawling and slander, and when it's done with malice, which is ill will, ill intent, evil intent. And so, you know, think about, you know, doing things intentionally, not just to make yourself feel better, but to hurt someone else. And those are things that we might struggle with. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about times when we get angry, and sometimes it is hard. It's hard to control that, and sometimes that's the attitude that we have. But it's important not to let that become sin, because the Bible says anger is it's a dangerous thing. Like I said, it can become fire, and it's actually what it's the same root attitude as murder. It's what Jesus said. That's kind of a sobering thought. And it's what happened to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. They let that anger for Jesus turn into actually murder, where they killed him. And so so it's important that we, like he said, just get rid of it. Throw it away. That's not who you are anymore. Let's get rid of those things. And instead, see this last verse, instead replace it with what? Be kind and compassionate to one another. And when we do sin against each other, forgive each other, just as Christ forgave us. And you think about it, that was one of the last things that Jesus did, right, on the cross. As he was dying on the cross for our sins and looking out over the people that were mocking him, the people that were responsible for killing him. And what did he do? One of the last things he did was he asked God to forgive them, because he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So if he can do that to the people that we're trying to get, we can forgive each other and forgive others. And so I think kind of as a quick summary paraphrase of this passage, I would say to you, to the saints at Faith Bible Church, be a place that challenges each other to not live in the lies of the world, but to live in the truths of God's words. When we do fall and sin against God and each other, let us be angry about the sin, but don't let the anger continue and become sin. Let us not take what is not ours, but let us work hard and help each other in our needs. Let our speech only encourage and build each other up with grace. Let us please God in the way we live our lives, in the kindness, compassion, and forgiveness that we show each other, in the same way that he showed these things to us. Let us have a renewed attitudes of our minds and become the new people we were called and created to be, reflections of God himself. So as we look at this last slide, I know it's not just a matter of flipping a switch, really, to just turn off your old self, turn on your old self. It is a process, and it does take each other, like he talks about. We are a body, and it takes each other to help encourage ourselves to stop living if we're still living according to the world, but also to live the way that God wants us to have that new attitude, to have that new heart. And so it takes us to help each other, to teach each other, to encourage each other, sometimes to correct, and to always, always be speaking the truth from God's words. It also takes time and effort. And by saying that, I don't want to discourage you in saying, well, we're never going to get there, because a lot of times that can be the tendency, right? We see our failures, we realize that we're always fallen, and we keep struggling, and sometimes with the same things over and over. And yet, God is saying, as you fill your heart and your minds with my truths, you're going to start changing. Your attitudes are going to start changing, and that's where it has to start. It's not just a matter of willpower. It's a matter of changing our hearts and changing our attitudes. And so it does take daily effort to fill our minds with God and with his truths. So whatever form that takes for you, reading God's word, being in a Bible study, coming to Sunday school, coming to church, whatever, listening to podcasts, whatever you can do to fill your minds with God's truths, because then as we fill our minds with God's truths and change our attitudes, then we'll start reflecting in the ways that we live our lives. And that's what God is hoping, that's what he's called us to do. And also, the last one is, we talk about, you know, it takes God's help and takes his power. He has given us the Holy Spirit, and we can't do it on our own, and we're going to need his help. And so rather than talk a little bit more about that one, I thought what we would do is actually sing about that one. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up and to close. And as we sing this song, think about how it might apply to helping us put off our old selves and to really fill our hearts with the new attitude that it takes on a daily basis. And then I'll close with prayer after that.